You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson ASC on Twitter, your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it every single Monday through Friday. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, and as always, welcome to all of our first-time listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been supporting me from the jump. Houdat family, and welcome into Thursday's episode of Locked On Saints. PJ Williams has been suspended for 2 games due to a violation of the league's substance abuse policy over the offseason, but luckily the Saints have some options to replace him in the meantime. The question is, should it be Patrick Robinson, the proven vet in the slot, or should they give Chauncey Gardner-Johnson a shot, the young and exciting rookie? We'll discuss that. As the Saints are nearing the trade deadline, rumors are heating up about their activity and interest in wide receivers around the league. Who have the Saints already been connected to, and also who might they be interested in? I'll give you some ideas there, but first, as we always do on Thursdays, we'll hit injury report and roster news updates. We got all that and a little bit of lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. So both the Saints and the Bears come into Thursday morning with 5 players each listed on their injury report. For the Saints, 4 of those 5 did not practice. That's Alvin Kamara, who's dealing with his ankle and knee injury, Jared Cook and Tre'Quan Smith, both also dealing with ankle injuries, and then of course Drew Brees, who's still recovering from his right thumb surgery. So we certainly expected him to be there, but for these other guys, Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook, and Tre'Quan Smith, that's pretty big for New Orleans. A Tre'Quan Smith missing this practice, and we'll see if he misses more practice throughout the week, could be the catalyst for what we're going to talk about in the second segment with the potential trades that the Saints are looking for with wide receivers around the league. Alvin Kamara, of course, is the guy whose name you don't want to be seeing on this injury report right now, but better that they don't try to rush him back, especially with him dealing with 2 separate injuries here with an ankle and a knee, and with the ankle injury being a high ankle type, quote unquote, injury, as we've been told, there's no reason to really push him or try to get him to a place where he absolutely has to play this weekend. The Saints instead hit the free agency market and signed former Detroit Lions running back Zach Zinner. Zach Zinner is a running back that has done a lot of pass catching out of the backfield in Detroit. He's also a pretty reliable running back when you need some short yarded situations. So this allows the Saints, even if Alvin Kamara can't play, to still go into this game with depth at 3 running backs with Latavius Murray, Dwayne Washington, and now Zach Zinner. I don't know if it's going to be Zach Zinner leaping Dwayne Washington so that Dwayne Washington can focus on his special teams duties, or if they're going to end up swapping the two of them, because Zach Zinner also has some special teams ability and special teams experience. So it really can go either way there, but you certainly will see a larger workload for Latavius Murray. Now, Jared Cook showing up on this list might actually concern me more than Alvin Kamara, only because, look, without Alvin Kamara, you still got Michael Thomas and Jared Cook, who started to come on. But if they miss Jared Cook as well in this game, then that pretty much just leaves the Saints offense with Michael Thomas. And if that's the case, somebody else, some other receiver somewhere, is going to have to step up. That's going to have to be a Ted Ginn Jr., a little Jordan Humphrey, maybe Austin Carr. But there's not a lot of comfort in that expectation, I'm sorry to say. And so if they end up not having Jared Cook and Alvin Kamara, both dealing with ankle injuries, Kamara with a complicated ankle and knee injury that's going on with him, that's not a great look for the Saints, and that really complicates matters going into Chicago, playing against that defense with a very, very, very short-handed offense. So again, that's Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook, Tre'Quan Smith, Drew Brees that did not practice. The 5th name on the injury report for the Saints is Trey Hendrickson, who was limited, so he did return to practice with his neck injury. Remember last week, he returned to practice on Wednesday, was limited, and then ended up going back to not practice for the rest of that week. So we'll see what happens with him later on today and if he's able to continue to practice throughout this week, unlike last. And just to update on the roster move, signing Zach Zinner comes with the corresponding move of releasing Stephon Anthony. So Stephon Anthony has been waived in order to make space for the running back. That now brings to an end Stephon Anthony's 2nd stint with New Orleans, as he was here exclusively playing a special teams role. Now jumping over to the Chicago Bears injury report, 4 of the 5 players listed on their injury report are starters, 3 of which are upgraded up to full practice. That includes Taylor Gabriel and Mitch Trubisky, who both returned to practice on Monday. So should be no big surprise here for these two guys. Mitch Trubisky, this fits within his timeline with that left shoulder injury. Taylor Gabriel coming back from the concussion. My friend Larry Dyer over at the Bears Talk Underground podcast was telling me about how Taylor Gabriel last week was pretty close to coming back, and he expressed that himself when he tweeted out that he was going to play on Sunday after the Bears lost to the Raiders in London. So you could tell that everything was pretty close to him coming back, but probably not with the flight to London and then having to play. So we should expect to see the Saints have to deal with him on Sunday. Bilal Nichols, who was dealing with a hand injury, might be playing with a cast. He would be the defensive tackle that's coming in to replace Akeem Hicks, who was sent to injured reserve earlier this week. And then Ted Larson, their starting right guard over on the offensive line for the Bears, looks like he might be on his way back as well, dealing with a knee injury. He was limited on Wednesday, so we'll continue to track his progress throughout. The Bears, of course, just placed another offensive lineman, Kyle Long. This is now his fourth season going to the injured reserve list. They just sent him to IR earlier this week on Monday. Ted Larson, it looks like he's on his way back, so that's a good boost for Chicago's offensive line, who has struggled even with Kyle Long in the offense. There are some questions about maybe now that they've gotten rid of Kyle Long, maybe they've gotten rid of their trouble spots because of how much he's been playing injured. So we'll see how much of an improvement the Chicago Bears offensive line makes, where they're definitely going to need one taking on the Saints defensive front. So lots to continue to track here for both teams when it comes to the practice participation reports throughout the rest of this week. And honestly, there's just a lot of question marks surrounding this game, not even just about personnel, but also just what the hell is going to happen in this game. This is a very odd game to prep for because we just don't know what this is going to look like. We know that it's two outstanding defenses going up against two sort of okay offenses, but beyond that, we don't really know what this game is going to look like. So I find that very interesting and very exciting. So looking forward to seeing exactly how this game shapes out. But for the Saints, one of the big questions is going to be who's going to be able to step up opposite Michael Thomas. Here we are again, 2 years in a row, especially if Alvin Kamara and Jared Cook are both unavailable on Sunday. We don't know that to be the case, but if it is, who is it that's going to step up? And honestly, I think the Saints might be a little tired of asking that question, and that might be why they have been linked around the trade market right now as pursuing a wide receiver or a pass-catching tight end. I'll tell you the name that they're already connected to and some other names that I think might be worth considering. But first, let me tell you about Peloton. They're offering a limited-time offer right now. Get $100 off of accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to oneonepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. So Tuesday afternoon, friend and friend of the show, Brian Bieniemy, took to Twitter at @public_B_enemy and talked about how the Saints were being connected in trade talks around the league as pursuing a wide receiver or being willing potentially to settle for another pass catching tight end. Now with that, some people reached out for clarification across Twitter and looked at some other sources around there. And one of the guys that chimed in was Benjamin Albright. Benjamin Albright at Albright NFL on Twitter. He is a talk show host, reporter, and analyst and everything over at KOA Colorado. Great, great, great guy. Super, super connected, well connected within all of his circles. And so he's a really good source, as has Brian proven to be as well several times, even though he doesn't get the credit for it. He has proven several times that he's that guy. But when it comes to what Benjamin Albright mentioned, he said several teams have called about Emmanuel Sanders, Patriots, Packers, Niners, Saints, etc. So there's more to that list. All have been told not available right now. Some of the parameters that Brian discussed about the not available right now include how the Broncos may decide to keep them if they beat Kansas City this week, which is actually tonight's game. He's coming back off of a minor injury. He's got salary, he's got quite a salary attached to him, and of course, what the Broncos want in return. So all those parameters make perfect sense. And honestly, I think Emmanuel Sanders makes way more sense to the Saints than some of the other guys that you've heard connected. You heard me talk about the JLC article talking about AJ Green and Stephon Diggs. AJ Green continues to be connected to the Saints. And actually, we'll talk about AJ Green here in a moment, but let's focus on Emmanuel Sanders here. So Emmanuel Sanders, coming off of a minor injury, 32 years old, he's not going to demand a very high price, but certainly the Broncos are going to want to get something back for him. But the thing that I like about Emmanuel Sanders is actually his fit with the Saints. He makes a lot of sense to me. He makes more sense to me than, like I said, AJ Green and Stephon Diggs. He's somebody that has played the number two role to guys like Demarius Thomas. He's also played it to Courtland Sutton here recently in Denver as well. Because of his injury, Courtland Sutton's really gotten an opportunity to become that top guy that's got good chemistry and good work with Joe Flacco. So now Emmanuel Sanders is back sort of in that number two role. One of the other things that I like about him is the same stuff that I liked about one of the other guys that I talked about last week, I believe it was, when I talked about Marquise Lee being, you know, the type of player that I would go after if I was Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton. I'm not saying Marquise Lee is available. I'm just saying he's the type of player one of the types of players I would go after. Emmanuel Sanders fits in that realm as well. He's not as young, but he's somebody that can play in the slot, that can play outside, that can play stacked. He can play all over your offense and all over your line of scrimmage. And he's got some speed to him so that you can utilize him in a bunch of different ways as well. So when you look at what Emmanuel Sanders brings to the table, he's a trade to me that makes sense if the Saints were going to go after a wide receiver. I like his versatility. I like his function. Well, I guess I like his positional versatility, or functional versatility as they call it. I like the fact that he can play all of those multiple different roles. And I just like his longevity as well. I like what he brings to the team. He's a threat without having to be that number one guy, but he's still going to draw attention opposite Michael Thomas. So I think Emmanuel Sanders would be a great name to pursue for the Saints. Okay, now we can talk AJ Green. So AJ Green is a name that's been connected to the Saints, not really by any reliable sources or anything like that. Nothing like that. Nothing that's really connected them. Maybe the closest thing that's connected them so far would be the JLC article that we already talked about last week. But outside of that, nothing really creditable has connected the two. There are more rumblings that are coming up now that more of these sort of trade details and potential teams have, you know, the more that those details start to come out, as they usually do. But as of right now, nothing that's truly fully connecting the Saints to AJ Green. What some people are talking about is that if AJ Green does practice this week and looks good and looks like he's ready to play, that teams are going to start to make their offers at that point. So the Saints have been said to be one of those teams. We'll see exactly what actually happens. I'm a little bit less comfortable with the amount that you're going to have to give up to get AJ Green, being that he's injury prone and 31 years old. Don't get me wrong, Emmanuel Sanders is also shown to be a little bit injury prone as well. 32 years old is Emmanuel Sanders, but I don't think the price you're going to pay for Emmanuel Sanders is going to be equal to that you're going to end up paying for AJ Green. So that's where sort of the difference lies for me. If you're able to get one of those guys on a maybe Jarvis Landry level type trade, a fourth and a seventh, or, you know, something around there, then I'm completely down with it and I have no problem with it. But if you're talking about, you know, if you're in the discussion to where you're giving up first round picks, future second round picks, that's a little much for me for either one of those guys. And I think Emmanuel Sanders fits more realistically within the price that you want to pay versus where the conversation of what you'll need to pay to get AJ Green is going to be. But if the Saints were to land AJ Green, obviously that's a big name and that's a huge asset for them and a huge ad for them. Just imagine having a healthy AJ Green when he is healthy, which is always a question mark. But imagine having a healthy AJ Green opposite very easily the best wide receiver in the league right now, Michael Thomas. And then you've got Ted Ginn Jr., Tre'Quan Smith when he gets healthy. And then you've got some really good undrafted rookies that you're waiting to see how they develop as well. That immediately launches you into conversation for one of the better wide receiver cores in the NFL, just based off of your top two there, Michael Thomas and AJ Green. There's no doubt about that. Now, does it have to be an AJ Green in order for the Saints to improve their weapons along the offensive side? Not at all. You've heard me talk already about Marquise Lee being somebody that I really like, or that level of player. Hell, I'd even go for a Cole Beasley. Just somebody that's able to be reliable in the slot and somebody that's able to give Teddy Bridgewater and eventually Drew Brees another option when Michael Thomas is being shadowed or is being, you know, he's being double, triple covered, bracket covered all the time. And so if he's not able to get free of any of that, and you don't want to force the ball to him in double, triple coverage, you're going to need somebody else reliable. And so none of this is going to take place before the Bears game. Let me just be very clear about that. So if the Saints don't have Jared Cook and Alvin Kamara, they're up a creek without a paddle. Like, no matter what, that's just what it's going to be for them. And they're going to need to figure out some other way to make it work around Michael Thomas. I think Latavius Murray is a good option. And I think Ted Ginn Jr., they just need to trust him and they just need to get him the ball. And so there's a couple of options still out there for the Saints for this Bears game if those guys are unavailable. But moving forward throughout the season, it looks like the Saints are getting ready to get equipped for a deep playoff run. And I think what the expectation here is a Super Bowl run, especially considering that they're sitting at 5-1. One game away, essentially, once they get through this Bears game. So let's say two games away from getting Drew Brees back on the field. And then you've got a much easier 8-game stretch toward the end of the season than the 4-game stretch that you open the season out on and came out the right side of. So this is good for the Saints. This is good. If you're a Saints fan, this is all very exciting because this is a team that has always consistently done this. Even when they're looking good, or even when they're looking, let's say, good enough as they are right now, they're always looking for ways to improve. And this year, 2019, is absolutely no different as they have their eyes set on one thing and one thing only, and it's a win in Miami in February. Now, while the Saints might spend this next game a little bit concerned about how they're going to get some production opposite Michael Thomas, over the next two games, they have to fill a hole on the defense as well with PJ Williams being suspended. They've got two great options there. I'll tell you which one I'd ride with and why. But first, let me tell you about my bookie. We've got this Bears game coming up, and you might have a good feeling about who's going to come away with a win here. -3.5. The Bears are favored at home. Maybe you take that. Maybe you don't. Maybe you have all of that knowledge and you wish that you could find some way to make some extra cash with it. And you can at my bookie. They want to make your dream come true this season. Between the football season, the MLB playoffs, and the start of the NBA and NHL seasons, it's time to get off the sideline and get into the action. And if you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, go ahead and try a parlay. For instance, if you'd like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they're going to let you bet on multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. And if you join right now, MyBookie's going to double your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. In the offseason, PJ Williams was arrested for a DUI. Over the course of this year in the offseason, that sentence was knocked down to reckless endangerment, which isn't as much of a charge as a DUI or a DWI, but the league still decided to take some discipline. It took a while with some appeals going on and all of the things that were going on around it, including, you know, just the NFL regular season itself. It took a while to get it done, but the NFL has finally been able to suspend PJ Williams for 2 games. Now, this week against the Bears and next week against the Cardinals, he'll be able to return during the bye week to be ready for the Falcons game in week 10. They've decided to suspend him for those 2 games and for violation of the league's substance abuse policy. So this went back and forth for a while, but it's finally happened. And now some of the questions that are centering or kind of floating around are, do the Saints move to Patrick Robinson, or do the Saints give young rookie Chauncey Gardner-Johnson a shot in the slot? I don't mean to make that rhyme, but you know what? It's just the reality of the world that we live in, all right? Chill. So when it comes down to which one of these guys to go with, when it comes to the veteran presence, you're looking at a guy like Patrick Robinson. He's done this before, and you might have some ill memories of him from the preseason, but remember, most of those happened because he was playing on the outside, or he had, you know, the couple of busted coverages from Chris Banjo, who was playing safety, which could have been a big reason why he ended up getting let go between, you know, during roster cuts, even though the door was open for him to come back. But I think he's still with the Eagles, if I remember correctly. But Patrick Robinson getting burnt a couple of times during preseason wasn't entirely reflective upon his work in the slot and what he does with reliable safeties behind him. So with that being the case, you'll look at pretty much a one-for-one swap when it comes to PJ Williams to Patrick Robinson. You lose a little bit of the tackling prowess because PJ Williams is a very, very good tackler, and that's one thing that you don't often have to worry about. When the rest of the team, for whatever reason, just sucks at tackling, PJ Williams has you covered, and he's a very reliable guy there. Patrick Robinson has the tackling ability, but he's not as reliable as PJ Williams. Now, the big question here is, why not roll with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, which you absolutely can do. You can put Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in the slot. It's one of the reasons why they drafted him. He can play there. He can play that nickel role. But the thing is, for me, he can play a lot more roles than just the nickel role. When you look at what this guy has been able to do in New Orleans, especially since his role has increased over these last two games, getting some of the most snaps that he's seen so far, including special team snaps. He played 50 two games ago against Tampa Bay, including special teams. He played 31, including special teams, this past weekend against the Jaguars. When you look at what he's been able to do, this is what the Saints wanted him for, and this is what Saints fans were so excited about for him over the offseason. So I don't see the sense entirely of pigeonholing him strictly to a slot role when you can also have him doing the following. He's played essentially as off of the defensive line as a right outside linebacker and a left outside linebacker, two times each from each of those positions over the last two games, so eight times total. He's also played in the box as one of the two linebackers in a nickel role, as well as being one of the box safeties, playing that box safety role as well. So he's been playing besides DeMario Davis in a linebacker role. You saw him play that at one point in the Jacksonville game when Leonard Fournette snuck out of the offensive line on a third down, caught a pass, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was the guy to make that pursuit to get back there and make a tackle. You put Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on the opposite side of the field there if he's in the slot role, and then you have A.J. Klein trying to chase down Leonard Fournette on a third and four or third and five, whatever it was. It was pretty short. That's not going to happen. So it's not going to end up the same way. So again, you take him away from doing things like that. He has played the slot corner role all throughout this year. He's played 19 snaps in the slot corner role. He's also played a snap at the wide corner role. He played 15 snaps as free safety. We saw him, the Saints drop him back into the mid third of a cover three last week and essentially helped shut down a play there. And then you've also seen him in kick coverage and punt coverage, as well as kick and punt return, and playing in field goal and extra point defense as well. So when you look at all of the roles that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson brings to this team and how effective he's been there, looking at him as a pass rusher, as somebody in coverage, as somebody as somebody with good pursuit in the run game, good pursuit in the short passing game, he's been very, very reliable and very good for the Saints playing in that role. We talked a lot before the regular season about Caden Ellis potentially being sort of that Taysom Hill role within the defense, and maybe one day he'll get to that, especially if he's able to recover from his injury well enough to continue to play at a high level moving forward. But Chauncey Gardner-Johnson right now is really looking like that guy, because they can literally play him anywhere that they want and he can be effective from anywhere on the field. So you've got a perfectly good and very well paid Patrick Robinson. Let him play in the slot, and then let Chauncey Gardner-Johnson do what he does on defense, and let him continue to benefit you from all over that defensive formation. All right, y'all, that is going to do it for Thursday's episode. Make sure you come back tomorrow, Friday morning. It'll be our last episode of the week to help you get ready for this Bears game on Sunday. We'll go over practice participation reports, keep you updated with everything going on with the roster. If we hear any more trade news, everything like that, we got you. And of course, we'll go through personnel grouping analysis as well. It's one of my favorite things to do, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. So we'll keep that rolling, as well as anything else that you need to know before this Bears game. And of course, if you have any questions, feel free to call the Locked On Saints listener line, 504-229-4265. You can also drop your questions over at the Locked On Saints Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/LockedOnSaints. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today. Thank you so much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And again, thank you to all of those of you who have subscribed. If you haven't already, please do so. And thank you to those of you who have shown your support with the 5-star ratings and reviews. I really, really appreciate you. Thank you very much for everything that you do, all your support, and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Hoot Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.